But the question which arises is of how to make contact with it. Assuming it is the instrument for this higher evolution, how is one to lay hold of that instrument? How is one to get a grip on it? How is one actually to make use of it as distinct from knowing about it or contemplating it or seeing pictures of it? Now, for those who live in a Buddhist country, for those who happen to be born, say, in Japan or in Tibet in the old days, or in Ceylon or Thailand, this isn't a problem at all, or certainly not a problem in the same degree or to the same extent. Whereas in these countries, whether or not people actually practice it, Buddhism is always available. It's always laid on, as it were. It's always at hand. If you want to meditate, well, certainly within a few miles of your home, you'll find a vihara, a monastery, where you can do that. If you want to study the Buddhist scriptures, again, within a few miles of your home, wherever you may happen to be, in any of these Buddhist countries, you'll find some learned monk who is capable of instructing you. Or if you're troubled by the deeper questions of religion and the spiritual life, the profounder, more far-reaching questions, well, the chances are that in your country or in your district, there are at least a few people, a few monks, or even a few lay people, who have plumbed and fathomed, comprehended these questions for themselves, and who therefore can deal with and satisfactorily answer your questions and your difficulties. So there, in these Eastern Buddhist countries, the situation is quite different. Making contact with Buddhism, laying hold of the instrument, this doesn't represent a difficulty or a problem at all. But in the West, including this country, it's a very different story. We may know Buddhism from books, but broadly speaking, we've no contact with Buddhism, with the Buddha's teaching, as an actual way of life or as a culture. No contact at all. Sometimes even one has, in this country, and even more so in some of the other European countries like Finland or like Italy or Hungary, where there are just a very, very few Buddhists indeed, no real contact even with other Buddhists. One becomes very much aware of this fact in the course of one's work in this country. Every now and then one meets people or one receives letters from people who tell one that they've been Buddhists or have considered themselves as Buddhists for a long time, quite a long time, even for a matter of years. But then they say, or they write, but I've never met another Buddhist. Perhaps in isolation for years. Occasionally one meets people of this sort at the summer school. I met two or three of them only last year at the summer school. And they said, this is the first time we have had contact with other Buddhists. And they said it's quite impossible to convey what that means to us. I can say that many years ago, this was my own individual case for a couple of years. And some of you might even have had a similar experience. In my own case, if you don't mind my reminiscing autobiographically for just a few minutes, in my own case, I became a Buddhist, or considered myself a Buddhist, at the age of about 16. So I got started pretty early. I came to this realization, as one can say, that I was a Buddhist after reading two very important Buddhist texts. One was the Diamond Sutra, or Vajracchedika Sutra, and the other was the Sutra of Wai Lang, as in our ignorance we used to call it in those days. Now I understand one has to call it the Sutra of Hui Ning, or the Platform Sutra. But in those days we simply called it the Sutra of Wai Lang. So what happened was that when I got hold of these two works, when I went through them very quickly, In any case, they're very short books. They're very profound, very concentrated in content. I had a sort of experience, a sort of intuitive apprehension, one might say, that this is the truth, that so far one has not come across, or one has not come into contact with anything which surpasses this, or which even approaches this. That the truth is here, not truth in the sense of a particular set of words, a particular set of teachings or doctrines even, but truth in the sense of some metaphysical, some transcendental dimension which was suggested by the words or hinted at by the thoughts and ideas and teachings, but which essentially was beyond them all, but nevertheless in some way communicated or mediated by them. So one felt, or I felt, that this is the truth, the absolute truth. And not only that, but there was also the experience, or the, if you like, the intuitive understanding or realization that this is nothing new. It is not that I didn't know it yesterday and now I've come to it today. Not that. But when it was known, it was as though, or one shouldn't even say as though, it was in fact that it had been always known. Not that one got to know it then, before one didn't know it, and afterwards one did know it, but when one knew it, one not only knew it, but one had always known it. So that in fact there was no coming to know it. So in this sense also, there was no question of becoming a Buddhist. Not that up till the age of 16 one wasn't a Buddhist, one was something else, and from the age of 16 one was a Buddhist, not that. But at that time one realized that one had in fact been a Buddhist, in a sense without knowing it, all the time. So this was my own experience. Now this happened in London, but I didn't learn of the existence of a Buddhist movement in London till considerably later. And this occurred when I happened to be reading a translation of the Tao Te Ching, a certain Chinese Taoist work, and at the back there was an advertisement for a magazine called Buddhism in England. Now Buddhism in England is now known as the Middle Way. It is of course the organ of the Buddhist Society at Eccleston Square. So after seeing this advertisement I wrote off for this magazine, got it, became a subscriber. I entered into correspondence with the editor, who was then Claire Cameron, who is still alive, still in this country, and still in touch with me. And in course of time, I started writing articles for The Middle Way. I remember, Buddhism in England. The first of them being, I remember, on the subject of the unity of Buddhism, a subject which I've pursued with some enthusiasm ever since. Now, eventually, I plucked up my courage, went along to the society, which was then in Great Russell Street, now there's a bookshop on that same premises, joined the society and started attending meetings. So during those 2 years, from the time of reading the Diamond Sutra and the Sutra of Wai Lang, up to the time of going to the Buddhist Society at Great Russell Street, although all this happened 25 years ago, I wasn't in contact with a single other Buddhist.